Bible is God's Word, and the main subject of the Bible is Jesus. There's a verse in Psalms that you are a God who hides yourself, and He's the God we can't approach as we live. And there are certain things where I look and I see, yeah, I think I see evidence of God in that aspect in my life or her life or situations. But there's a dividing line between the provable and just the kind of you think that's something, but you also know that you're a human being and you're open to suggestion. And so I kind of wonder if one of the main purposes of the Bible, including Jesus' life, we've never seen him in his human body, is that he was to demonstrate what humanity could be, as well as the fact of salvation. I'm not disputing that. But is one of the main purposes of the Bible for God to show us who we are and show other people to us so that we can understand them? I keep coming back to this part about God and all his power being unapproachable.
Okay, unapproachable God. By the way, Paul actually says that about God. He says, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen. So the God the Father, being invisible, remember that. God is invisible. He is a spirit. God the Father, is incorporeal. That means corporeal. He doesn't have a body. Okay, so you're right about the unapproachableness of God. But this is why Jesus is so important. And let me show you 1 John chapter 1, and I'm sure you agree with these, but I will show you when we talk about the knowability of God, this is what the Bible says. And this is why last week it came down to when the question came, how do you know the Bible's true? The bottom line on theology, salvation, the Bible, everything comes back to Jesus Christ. I mean, that's why Paul said, if Christ isn't risen, we're of all men most hopeless. So look what it says in 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now verse 18. And this is what you were talking about, the unapproachable knowability of God. Verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. How do you like that? God is invisible. He is spirit. He is incorporeal. He is not seeable. It's very interesting to think about. No one has seen God at any time. Now look at this. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. That's interesting, that word declared is a very famous word. It's exegeo. That's where we get exegetical preaching from. Jesus Christ has exegeted, expounded, has explained God to us, because God is not knowable to humans, because he is what he is. Now go to Hebrews chapter 1. I want to show you something else, because it really always comes down to Christ. And in Hebrews 1, this is what the writer of Hebrews tells us in verse 3. We can start in verse 1, because it's the whole opening of the book. God, who at various times in various ways spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophet. God, how do we prove him? Did Christ come just to demonstrate him and show us something? How do we get to know this unapproachable God? Well, Hebrews 1 says, God has spoken a lot of different ways, and he's spoken through prophets. But in these last days, verse 2, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. All of a sudden, wow. Hebrews 1 says that Jesus is the creator. That's who we see in Genesis 1. it's Jesus we're seeing. That John 1 says that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And then John says, all things were made by him. So he's the creator right here. So keep reading. He made the worlds, the universe, by Christ. Now, verse 3. Jesus Christ is the brightness of God's glory. That's what the His is. Who is Christ? Verse 3. And His is God. Christ is the brightness of God's glory. Now, continuing, it's talking about Jesus Christ, verse 3. Christ is the express image of God's person. You understand that, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the express, the exact image of God. In other words, W.A. Criswell, the champion of the Southern Baptists of a generation ago, coined a phrase that shakes people up. But you know what he says? The only God, you know what he said, he's in heaven now, but what he said is, the only God you'll ever see is Jesus Christ. And think about that. He said a lot of people are expecting to go to heaven and seeing three gods walking around. All three of them just kind of doing a shuffle up there. The only God that is visible. Think about that. Think about the Holy, what? Spirit. God is invisible. That's why it talks about he dwells in unapproachable light whom no man can see. He is theologically described incorporeal. He doesn't have a body. Yet, it is one God. You know, you always have to, the Trinity is, as St. Augustine said, St. Augustine had one of the greatest minds a human has had. I mean, there you can chart about four or five of the greatest minds in history, and Augustine had one of them. Calvin probably had one too. Of course, our Lord. And you know, there are a few in between. But St. Augustine said that the Trinity is so deep a thought that he said for those who just come in childlike faith, it's like the ocean. They can sit on the edge of the ocean and splash in it and enjoy it, but he said an elephant can drown if he goes out too far. And he said that's what the depths of this concept of the Trinity, that God is one, but he exists in three persons. And he exists in these three persons, and if you read the confessions of the church, these three persons are not confused. They don't flow together, and it's not a modalistic idea of God, that it's one God and he has three hats, and so he can only be one at a time. All three persons are coexistent, but there's only one God. And two of the three persons are invisible, spirit, bodiless. But back here to what Hebrews 1 says, Jesus Christ, and look at the wording in verse 3, is the express or exact image of God. So, plug that into the equation. Liberals, people that don't believe the Bible, say that there's an Old Testament God, and this is the one that's burning Sodom and Gomorrah. And he's the one that exterminates the Canaanites. And he is this, the exterminator. You know, he is this wrathful, warring, plague-sending, burn-em-up God. That's the Old Testament God. Then we have the New Testament God, and he is this meek and mild Jesus. And he wouldn't hurt a flea. And there's this Old Testament meanie, and there's this New Testament nice one. And when they do that, what they're separating is a lot of things about God. For one thing, God is immutable. He doesn't change. And if he hated something in the Old Testament, he still does. And people see that. Why do you think they believe all this? Because primarily all the hard things about, like, homosexuality and a lot of other stuff is this meanie But the New Testament, he's so polite. But you know what it says? Jesus is the express image of God. That's why Jesus said in his ministry, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen what? The Father. See, back to your original question, I don't want to go too... Yes, God is unapproachable, but he was unapproachable. He built that portable tent, the tabernacle, and had all the sacrifices and sent angels to tell people what to do. Yes, but he came down in these last days. He's spoken to us, verse 2 of Hebrews, by his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things. He's the Creator. His Son is the Creator. And his Son is the brightness of the glory of God. That's what we see in the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus let out the glory within. And he is the exact representation of God's person. He is the image of the invisible God. See, that's what's so wonderful about knowing Jesus Christ, that God is approachable now. We can, and Hebrews goes on. Look how Hebrews talks and applies this. If you go to chapter 4, it says, verse 14 of chapter 4, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast. We don't have a high priest that can't sympathize with our weaknesses. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, therefore let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may find mercy to help in time of need. And when we come to that throne of grace, who do we get to? Back to Hebrews 1. It says in verse 3, I didn't finish that, that in chapter 1, verse 3, not only is Jesus the Creator and the exact image of God, but it says he upholds all things by the word of his power. That means he's the one holding the universe together. And when he had by himself purged our sins, I'm in Hebrews 1, 3, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. See, this is God the Father. He is the majesty on high. And Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the invisible spirit without a body, God, who is one in three persons. And Jesus represents him. And Jesus is the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, as 1 Timothy 2 says. And Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And chapter 4 says, when we come to him, we can come boldly to that throne of grace. And when we come, Jesus intercedes for us and explains us to the Father all through our earthly life. And then, of course, you know what Revelation 3 says. I mean, one of the most amazing things, you talk about the unapproachable, knowable God. Revelation 3 says that Jesus is going to confess us by name to the Father. In other words, we are going to meet God the Father by Jesus Christ walking us up. In fact, I was thinking about that so much that at Joe Smith's funeral, that was what I did the funeral about how Jesus took Joe Smith, and of course all believers, not just Joe, all believers, walked Joe up like he's going to walk us up and said, Father, I want you to meet Joe Smith. This is my beloved that I bought, at your plan, and I the sacrifice, and I purchased him. Joe, there's your Father in heaven. See, that's the wonder of the gospel. That's why a lot of people say, aren't you glad we live on this side of the cross? I mean, you couldn't get near God back then. I mean, if you made one false move, look at the Nadab and Abihu and all of them. They got burned up. But on this side of the cross, we can boldly come to the unapproachable God who is invisible and bodiless. But we come through Jesus Christ. And Jesus not only is the physical, what we can see of God, he's the God we see, but he is the express image of his person. That's why we know that the Old Testament God, that is God the Father represented in Jesus Christ, who is exterminating the Canaanites, and it is God in Christ, as 2 Corinthians 5 says, reconciling the world to himself. It's the same God. It's not a meanie and a meek and mild one. It's the same God who Jesus is the exact representation. And that's why you see at times Jesus so filled with anger. And it was never at sinners. It was always at fakes, at religious charlatans, people that claimed to know God but denied him by their lives. And Jesus was infuriated at them. He called them whitewashed sepulchers and a lot of other, he just was merciless on them. Jesus has compassion on sinners because that's what God has. But Jesus has no, he doesn't give any room to those who claim to know him but don't love him enough to obey him. So, but back to the original question here. What's the purpose of the Bible? The Bible is to reveal him. It's his word. It's God the Father breathing out his word through the Holy Spirit. But as Peter tells us, it's the Spirit of Christ that inspired them. So all three persons are involved. Jesus Christ didn't just demonstrate God. He was God. And he didn't just show people how to come to God. He opened the way. Jesus Christ is the proof of God because God is invisible in spirit. And yet Paul tells us in Acts 17 that God's an arm's length away from everybody. He's close enough for anybody to reach out to by faith, but that's through Christ. And he does dwell in this unapproachable light, as Paul talks about to Timothy, dwelling, whoever gets there first, I do want to read that, dwelling in unapproachable light whom no one can see. Is that 6? 6:16 of 1 Timothy. This is the unapproachableness that you talk about in the Old Testament, but it's stated in the New Testament. 1 Timothy 6:16 starts in 15. He will manifest in his own time, who is the only blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone hath immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. What is that talking about? That's talking about this God the Father and the immensity of his majesty, yet Jesus Christ has explained him, as John 1:14 and 18 says, and Jesus Christ has revealed to us, oh, come on, which direction are we going here? He is the exact representation of this person that is unapproachable